I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I'm not sure, but I kind of think my theology might be changing a bit when it comes to spiritual warfare. I've referenced and just talked about Tozer's work. I really love, you know, his books on pursuing God. And he had this one that released, I can't remember, for back in the 90s, late 80s, I Talk Back to the Devil. And it really impacted how I stand my ground. One of the things he says is you got to quit letting that enemy kick you around like a football. I still believe that and agree with that. But I'm starting to wonder about just strategy. You know, a friend recently sent me some pages out of a book on warfare that suggests we shouldn't address the devil directly. We're to resist him, but not to talk with him. And he says, you know, in doing so and being kind of reckless in the way we talk to the enemy, we may end up with all kinds of collateral damage and experience unnecessary battles, like we're picking a fight with the devil. I've never been that arrogant. I'll just tell you that right now. I have a healthy respect for the wiles of the enemy, but I do think that at times we give him too much credit, and other times we're not paying enough attention to the fact that he's trying to steal from us. So what are your thoughts? I would just love to know. Do you have thoughts, opinions, one way or the other on just that topic? But Jesus did say in Luke 10, I've given you authority over all the power of the devil. You know, he's given us authority. So I really think there's something to saying, I take authority over the spirit of anxiety or fear because God has not given me a spirit of fear. I think there's a way to do this. Anyway, I'm grateful to welcome my friend Kyle Winkler back to the show to talk about his new book, Shut Up, Devil. You know, I wrote the foreword for this book, and I appreciate so much how Kyle exposes enemy lies, and he teaches us how to stand in faith by standing on God's word. So the prayers at the end of the chapter, he's not talking to the devil. He's appealing to God and talking with God and helping us remember, here's the lie, and here's what's true, and here's how you stand on the truth. And here's what he writes. We do not want to give the enemy too much credit, nor do we want to sensationalize him in any way that provokes paranoia or fear in people. You'll not find either in this book. People should see the enemy for who he really is, sneaky, but a defeated foe. We have a handful of copies to give away of Shut Up, Devil, Silencing the 10 Lies Behind Every Battle You Face. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. In a separate text, I would love your opinion, just your thoughts on what I've said so far. Quick announcement before we hear from Kyle. I got some good news and I got some hard news. Here's the good news. God is on the move. I'm telling you what people who you never thought would ever be saved in a million years are showing an interest and a hunger and a thirst in the things of God. I'm hearing these stories everywhere. I'm seeing it. People are getting healed. Prodigals are coming home. This is happening. So here's the hard news. Those who oppose the things of God are becoming bolder by the day, and that's just true. So back to the good news. People need to know about the love of Christ. Jesus is the hope of the earth. Jesus, that power of the gospel has the power to save man's souls. And we want to know, will you help us spread the word? Because we're just getting going. Our spring share event, our spring fundraiser starts tomorrow. Would you pray for us? There's already attack going on behind the scenes, which there always is. And we are just expectant, though, of what God might do. Will you join us in prayer and even prayerfully consider how you might partner with us? You're going to hear us bright and early on the air starting tomorrow. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Kyle Winkler is an author, practical Bible teacher, and creator of the popular Shut Up, Devil mobile app. Today, he's known for his bold yet vulnerable messages. He's been featured on Christian media throughout the world. He holds a Master of Divinity in Biblical Studies from Regent University. He resides in Orlando, Florida. And dear Kyle, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Susie. It is always such a privilege and an honor to be with you.
I'm grateful for you as well. I'm grateful for your voice and the kingdom and how many people you've helped get free. And I'm really looking forward to digging into the content of this book. But you know this because you've been on plenty of times. Let's start here just in your time with God. What is he impressing on your heart these days?
Yeah, I always love this question, Susie. And I think actually, you know, my sweet spot is always identity in Christ type of stuff. That's what squeezed me. That's kind of what comes out of me. And I just finished a a series, a message series on the new you. And one of the messages I was going through, and the Lord was deeply just ministering to me through it, was just on the real, what was a radical revelation, especially back in those days, on being a child of God. And the Bible talks a lot about being a child of God. And Jesus said something that really just got unpacked to me. He says in Matthew 18:3 that unless you become like little children, you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven. And so I started asking the Lord, you know, what does this mean, become like little children? Does that mean we need to become immature? Does that mean we need to be unlearned? You know, what does that mean? And here's what God said to me, which, as I said, ministered so deeply to me. I think it'll minister to those who are listening as well. God said, Kyle, often people try to come to me as adults, meaning looking good enough, achieved enough, pleasing enough, spiritual enough. But adulting won't get you closer to me. I ask you to come to me like a child, innocent and simple in faith. And when you think about how a child runs to hug their parents, they come after them all sweaty from an afternoon of play with stains on their clothes, smelling like outside. They don't care how they look or smell. They just know that they need the comfort of their mother or father. Sometimes I think, and I've been there for sure, that we think that it's maybe irreverent to approach God in a come-as-you-are manner. I definitely was raised that way for sure. But that's exactly what God's telling us, to approach him childlike, that the way to heaven is to become a child. It's not about striving. It's about coming to him boldly, not waiting to seem enough of anything, but just going to him in the simplicity of just as you are.
I love that so much. I don't remember where I read this a few months ago, but the author said, we need to mature into a state of childlike wonder. And I thought, wow, you know, what if, you know, I'll just say in our bedroom, you know, one of our guests talked about your bedroom should be a sanctuary, especially for sleep and different, you know, you really, it needs to be a place where you rest, especially if you have sleep issues. And when I'd read that line, we put pictures on our wall of our grandkids running through fields, and they're like, one is holding a flower, and he's, you know, but it's just this, they're just all out. One of our granddaughters has this really messy ponytail and crooked smile, and she's just belting it through the grass. And I'm like, every time I see that, I think of that line that we must mature into a state of childlike wonder. I mean, we've lost so much wonder and awe in our seriousness, haven't we?
Oh, goodness, yeah, and I was one of them.
me too.
I would admit that I battle with that because I can get real serious real quick, which is why the Lord is always impressing upon me this type of thing. It's not about the striving. It's not about the perfectionism. It's just about you being you and coming to me as you are. And therein is our peace and our freedom and just so much else.
So good. Thank you for sharing. Okay, you heard my opening monologue. And yeah. I really am just sort of processing through because I really, of course, I love Tozer's stuff. And I really respect this prayer friend of mine. What she shared was really food for thought for me. So where do you land and what are your thoughts?
I land on not giving the enemy too much credit, just as you said in your monologue. I don't take the approach in spiritual warfare of really talking back to the devil any more than saying, shut up. Mm-hmm. And because I do think in that we give him too much place in our minds. And as you said in your monologue, we almost open ourselves up to an arguing match with the enemy. And it's not even worth our time to argue with somebody who is defeated. Because
that's so good.
when you know that his lies are just that, that they are lies, who are you trying to convince? And so it's just not even worth the time and energy. And so when I'm certainly talking about shut up devil, it's not necessarily about even getting the enemy to stop talking, because we're really not going to do that. It's really about shutting yourself down, shutting yourself or shutting his lies from getting into you, shutting yourself out to the enemies. So it's really more of a process of you renewing your mind to who you are in Christ, to God's love and his grace, than actually getting the enemy to do anything. Because the battle really is in our mind.
You know, that's so good. And I will even say, you know, your app that's gone so wildly crazy for people is exactly that. You almost ignore the enemy. It's almost like you take the lies, because we all know what feels true. You identify the lies, and then you give us scripture, then you give us a prayer to pray. So he's out of the equation. I mean, it's a catchy title for an app, but it really is about going, no, seriously, though, going, you know, insecurity, fear, rejection, because we know when we're feeling fear or rejection or inferiority. Oh, yeah. So you get all those tabs where it's like, okay, this is what I feel. Okay, this is a lie. This is what's true. Here's how you pray. And it, to me, is such a great weapon of our warfare. And I kind of knew you felt that way, but I just wanted to ask you, because I know there's just different opinions about it. But I think it is the most effective way to stand in battle is, you know, I have a mentor who says her way of saying shut up is, I command unrighteousness to shut its mouth. I love that. It's awesome. So I think that's really, really good. Any thoughts before we go to break, and we'll start to dig in a little deeper here?
I think you said it so much there. I mean, the enemy works in our mind, and really he doesn't have to do much except for interject a single lie into our mind and then walk away, because then our mind really do the rest of his dirty work. So we shut him up in the mind with reminders of what God says.
That's so good. Okay, when we come back, you know, you've been on the show a few times, so you've shared a bit of your backstory. But for those who maybe missed those conversations, just for the sake of context, I want you to just give us a tiny bit of your story and tell us, you know, just it helps us understand why this you're so fierce about this topic of identity and walking in truth. And friends, I'm talking to Kyle Winkler. I wrote the foreword on this book, Shut Up, Devil, Silencing the 10 Lies Behind Every Battle You Face. What are those 10 lies, you wonder? You're still a horrible sinner. God is punishing you. You're unlovable. You can't be forgiven. You should be afraid. How often does that enemy wield that one against you? You should be afraid. You do not belong. You need to be like somebody else. You have no purpose. You're a failure. You're disqualified. These are all lies. These are all lies, and it takes them on one by one. If you got questions, you can send them in a separate text, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend Kyle Winkler, who just released a brand new book, Shut Up, Devil, Silencing the 10 Lies Behind Every Battle You Face. I was really honored to write the foreword for this book, and we got a good stack of copies to give away. It really is, as he was saying before the break, not about dialoguing with the enemy. Your one conversation is to tell him to shut up, and you turn your back on him, and you fill your heart and your mind with the truths of God, and you stand on the truth even when it doesn't feel true, because eventually it will feel true. I want to get your name in on the drawing. If you'd like, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you got questions or comments, send those in a separate text. And as I said before the break, Kyle, you've been on a handful of times, so you have shared your backstory. But as much as you're comfortable, give us a bit of a synopsis so friends know the context from which you're speaking about why this is so important to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to do so. And I go through it so much in the book. The book really kind of follows a lot of my journey. But just to kind of briefly go over it, I was a serious Christian for about a decade. I was saved at 16 years old. And I mean, like, when I got saved, I was on fire. I mean, I was like, let's do this thing. And so I worked at a huge church. I got into leadership in ministry, and I went to seminary, got my master's in biblical studies, yet 10 years into all of that, I am at the edge of my bed protesting to God, saying, okay, I have been a made new, born again Christian for 10 years now, yet I still don't feel like the made new person that you say that I am. I'm still feeling, and I'm still dealing, and I'm still struggling, and I'm still battling a lot of the same old mind games and insecurities and fears and shame that I battled before I was a born-again Christian. So I'm asking the Lord, what more do I need to do? And God started to just go layer by layer with me about how, as far back as potty training, my battles were not going to be solved by a bunch of more doing and behaving and striving, but that all the way back, as far back as I can remember, the battles were a result of picking up lies that I had taken as truth. lies such as back when I was in kindergarten and first grade, they thought I had a reading problem because I was afraid to read aloud. I quit my first year of preschool because I was just so shy and insecure. I just always felt and really kind of heard this lie. Like I said, as far back as I can remember, is you don't belong. You're just an outcast. And there was a lot of proof to that as I got into school because nobody wanted to be friends with a kid that didn't talk. I was clumsy with my athletic ability. So that all did make me be the loner and the one sitting alone at the lunch table and selected last for just about everything. So then I pick up another lie there that says you are a reject. Nobody likes you. Nobody's ever going to like you. And again, the way the enemy is so sneaky with this stuff is he bolsters this stuff with real situations and real evidence and real feelings. And so by the time I become a Christian, I've got this identity of an outcast and I don't belong and a whole bunch of other things. And I find out that Jesus loves me and has power for my life, and I fall in love with him for that. But just because you're saved doesn't mean your memory is erased. And just because you're saved doesn't mean that you suddenly change your pattern of thinking. And so I approach my relationship with God the way I approach my relationship with other people, that I had to perform and do and strive in order to keep God loving me, in order to keep God accepting me. And so that was just over that 10 years of serving and doing and being in leadership and studying and doing all the right things I knew to do. It was a roller coaster of ups and downs that actually only created more battles in me than even before I was a Christian. So there I was at the end of it all asking God, what more do I need to do? And God revealed to me the doing was part of the problem. What I needed to learn is how to believe right. And that's really what Shut Up Devil is all about, believing right.
Boy, thank you for that. I got a listener that texted in a question. I'm not sure I understood it, so I just texted her back to ask her to rewrite it. But maybe you'll understand it. So let's just start with this. I think I get it. Okay, all of the items you read off, because I was reading all the lies that we tend to believe, all the items you read off basically deal with negative thoughts. What about the person who continues to battle with how absolutely stunningly perfect above others thinking that they deal with? See, I don't know if I understand. I'm wondering if
I don't understand the last part of it.
Yeah, I don't get it. Maybe I'm not. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for her. I asked her to resubmit the question just so we understand it. Because Phyllis, we want to help you. We want to pray for you. My sense is that she maybe feels like others put themselves above her. And while we're waiting for her to retype, just let's talk about that for a minute, because I don't know who said it first, but somebody said, you know, we teach people how to treat us. And there's something right in the spirit. I really do believe that when we believe a lie, like there's a low place in our wall, we give off a sense.
We do.
You can get away with this with me. You know, you can come over the wall and you can get away with it with me. And you know, we really are the ones who take our power back to say, even if you are exalting yourself above me, it doesn't have to affect me, because I don't have an empty cup. I have a full cup. So your, you know, misguided opinion even doesn't have the power it once had. Maybe speak to that if you would.
That's why I make a lot in the book about how right believing leads to right behaving. A lot of us battle because we have it the other way around. But what you believe about yourself is the level that you're going to rise to. It's going to be the level of how much offense you have and how angry you get. And it's going to be how you, just as you said, how you teach people to treat you. So if I go back into my story, because of all the insecurities and shyness that I had, I was awkward around people, especially as I got into high school, because I just couldn't imagine that people would want to be friends with me, but yet I was desperate to have friends. And so out of all of that pressure, it just was kind of almost this self-fulfilling type of thing that I was going to be rejected because I acted like a reject, because that's what I believed that I was. And so when you have this belief that you are just this horrible person, you can't do anything right, or nobody's ever going to like you, you are going to adjust your behaviors, or your behaviors are going to be a manifestation of that belief, and people are going to pick up on that and it's just going to go round and around and around in a cycle until you learn how to confront it with real truth.
You know, I wrote about this in my book, Uncommon Woman. But back when I was a young mom, I was painfully insecure, also very sincere about the things of God, but so insecure, so fearful. But I also wanted to grow. So I kind of gave a open runway for anybody to confront anything that they ever saw. They didn't have to earn any right to speak into my life. They could just run over me without consequence. And I had a friend who said the wisest thing. She goes, "Susie, I'm a woman who fears God, and I love you. I'm your friend." But she said, "Even I am tempted to take advantage of you at times because there's something that you're giving off in the spirit that makes me, in my heart, to go think, I could do this, I could say this, and get away with this with her." And she said, "I have to die to my own flesh to take advantage of you, you know, because I don't want to do that. I fear God and I love you." But she goes, "You got to shut down that runway." And it was like revelatory, Kyle, because I realized, what is that that I was, you know, and it was really a sense of, it was misguided humility and insecurity.
Right.
But when I shut that down, I really did take some of the power back, thinking not everybody gets to speak into my life like that.
Yeah, that's such a powerful statement. I was thinking exactly what you said when you said misguided humility, because I think maybe that's even the deception. I know it was in my life. I mean, the enemy made me believe, I suppose, that my quiet nature, my passive nature, was really the way God wanted me to be, because we're supposed to be humble. But humble doesn't mean be a doormat. Humble, really, humility, as I teach so much, is having an accurate view of yourself. Well, it is perfectly accurate to view yourself, how God sees you, as more than a conqueror, as his righteousness and his masterpiece, and somebody that just can't be taken advantage of. So, of course, there's a balance. We're not talking about ego and we're not talking about pride, but true humility is not, somebody's got to hear this, is not being a doormat and letting everybody just tell you what to do. And just as you said, Susie, just opening yourself up for whatever somebody wants to tell you. But it's knowing who you are, and it's standing for who you are.
Yeah. And, you know, true humility is also harness strength. I mean, when you think about Jesus, you know, when the soldiers came to arrest him and he said, "I am he," and a battalion fell back by the power, that's harness strength. I mean, he could have done whatever he wanted in that moment, but he submitted to God and his will. And it's, to me, it's such a picture of, I know who I am. God knows who I am. I don't need you to know who I am. So I'm good. I don't have to, you know what I mean, exalt myself. I can humble myself and trust God to be my defense. We need to go to break. But when we come back, I see a couple more texts that have come in who just have questions and want us to keep talking about it. I'm talking to Kyle Winkler. His book is titled Shut Up, Devil, Silencing the 10 Lies Behind Every Battle You Face. And we will be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Kyle Winkler, who just released a book, Shut Up, Devil, Silencing the 10 Lies Behind Every Battle You Face. And we were talking earlier, this isn't about talking to the devil. It's about shutting him down, turning your back on him, standing in the truth, knowing the truth that sets you free, glorifying God. You know, I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, we make two errors when it comes to the enemy of our souls. We sensationalize and see him behind every bush, or we ignore him completely. And we've got a handful of copies to give away. Kyle goes after some of these lies that the enemy is so commonly issues against us, like you're still a horrible sinner, that God's punishing you, you're unlovable, you can't be forgiven, you should be very afraid, those kinds of things. And we'll dig into some of those in just a moment. Here is the number if you want to text to get in on the drawing. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And this listener texts in, Kyle, I sense so strongly that Satan is ramping up his game. She says, I agree that while it's critical to have solid understanding of the enemy, his power, and his tactics, I do have to remember the battle belongs to the Lord. I cannot do anything to resist, combat, or overcome. My position is critical. In Christ, he goes before me. He battles. He conquers. Indeed, I can do all things through Christ. In him, I am more than a conqueror. Still, I have to see myself rightly, be in the right position of surrender, trust, and faith, so that no matter what the enemy throws at me of his weapons, they won't prosper. I must remember it's finished. I'm completely protected in Jesus. My initial thought, and I'd love to hear yours, I love all of this as far as staying positioned in Christ, and he is the one who, he's the one who fights for us. But Scripture does say to us, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So we do have to do some resisting, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of it comes down to having a proper understanding of the name devil. Some of it has gotten lost in translation. You know, we all know that the Bible was written, or the New Testament at least, was written in Greek, and so it was translated into English. And that word devil, like a lot of names in Scripture, is more than just a name, like Billy, Bob, Joe, or Sally, but it's actually a job description of what he does and how he does it. Mm-hmm. And so devil in Greek is diabolos, and it simply means slanderer. And I go through this so much in the first chapter of the book titled The Slanderer. But slander, as we know, is making a false statement in order to destroy somebody's reputation. So that verse that you just mentioned there from James, which says, resist the devil and he will flee, literally you are resisting the slanderer. You are resisting his slander. You're resisting his false statements that are aimed to destroy your reputation. So the extent that we do that, once again, is confronting the slander that he says about you. Things like a lot of the lies that are listed in the book, that you're just a horrible sinner or you're disqualified, that kind of slander, confronting that with the truth of what God says about you, the truth of his grace and his unconditional love.
So good. This, dear listener, I want you to not only speak to, but then I want to pray for them. They said, I feel like I don't belong anywhere. Is this the devil talking or my lack of faith? And you can even see how the enemy is so sly, because it's like to come back around and you know, I don't know who said it first, but he seduces, then accuses. So first he seduces you into believing a lie, then accuses you for believing a lie. But speak to that, dear one, if you would.
Yeah, that lie that you don't belong, that's probably the lie, as I said, that I picked up from as far back as I can remember, even probably before then. And it is the source of so much shame. I know I believe because I didn't belong, therefore there must be something wrong with me. Out of that source of shame comes every insecurity, comes so much anxiety, even depression. But the truth is that you were made in God's image. Genesis 1:27, we are all made in God's image. There is no sin, there is no struggle, there is no nothing that can remove the image of God from you. And in his image is a variety of personalities and looks and features that reflect him. I remember years ago, especially even as I got into ministry, I was comparing myself to everybody who did what I did. And, you know, they were all better comedians. They were all able to look good in skinny jeans. They were all of this different stuff that I felt like, man, I just don't belong. They all had a wife and kids and a dog, and I'm single and no kids, and I tried a dog for 2 months and it didn't really work out for me. And so I'm like, I'm not fit for this type of thing. Mm. And God just said something to me that, to the person who's writing that says, I'm feeling like I don't belong, I just want you to hear this right now. God says, I have given you a unique personality, style, and story. Use the gift of you. Who you are is a gift. It doesn't mean that you are going to be liked by the masses. That's not the purpose of all of this. Sometimes when you really lean into your authentic self, your friends may dwindle. But I tell you what, you will be led to the right people, and you'll have much greater quality relationships. You are handpicked and handcrafted by God to reflect him in a unique way. And just as I said, and just as he told me, your personality, your passions, your situations, I'm telling you, when you really lean into them, they don't count you out. They're actually what God uses to count you
in. Come on. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, I was just going to say that, and he'll count you in with the right people. Not all people, but the right people.
Yeah. You know, I'm just looking at this. I feel like I don't belong anywhere. And then you were talking about how God so crafted them. I'm thinking, immerse yourself in Psalm 139 because it talks about where can I go from your presence? You know, if you are in Christ, Christ is in you. So for one thing, you can't escape his presence. So in the darkest, deepest valley and on the mountaintops, anywhere, when you stand up, when you sit down, before you even open your mouth to speak, God is with you. And so you belong with him and he's with you. So do know that. And is this the devil talking? Yes, it is the enemy talking. And I wouldn't condemn you for a lack of faith. I would invite you to a renewed mind. Yeah. And I remember feeling so much like an outsider too. And remember one day the Lord said, you always feel like you're outside the circle. But I just saw this in my heart, you know, kind of heart. He drew a circle around me. He goes, you're in the center of my circle. And that's all that matters, you know. And I'm thinking of you just starting to rehearse what's true, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you're in the center of God's circle, that he's written your name on his hand and in his heart, and you can't escape his presence. So there's nobody of report that matters more than the God of the universe, and he knows your name, and he loves you, and he created you. So as you start to immerse your mind and heart in those things and renew your mind, your faith will grow. I think what's so tricky, Kyle, that I'm really learning a lot about the renewal of our mind is when you put on someone, you really need more faith. That just feels like another heavy weight. But when you renew your mind... Yeah, more shame. But when you renew your mind in the love of God and all the things he's already proven, your faith automatically grows, doesn't it?
Yeah, it isn't. It's almost an effortless growth, which is the way God designed it to be. I know for me, just as you said, for years, I would hear that and I would replay it myself, is I've got to have more faith. I've got to do. I've got to strive. I've got to. And I just was under the weight of not ever being able to measure up. And the pressure of that actually just. And the shame of that in and of itself made me fall all the more and just repeat this cycle over and over and over again. But renewing my mind to the truth of who I am, just the simplicity of renewing, just the repeating of, I am loved. I am right with you, God. I am good with you, God. I am at peace with you, God. I am your masterpiece, God. That planted a seed in me that just automatically started to grow, and the mind of Christ started to take over in me. And from there, I'm telling you, that did more for me, just rehearsing and repeating the truths of God's grace and God's goodness to me. That did more for me than 10 years of all the deliverance curriculums and all the fasting and all the different things that each have their place, but the different things I was trying to do to try to be someone with God or achieve something with God. God's love did in me what those things couldn't do in 10 years.
I so agree. And I'm reading a book it's an older book, F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer. It's the best book I've ever read on healing. But one of the things he says is, as you lean in, he said that this idea of not only renewing your mind, but really renewing, staying continuous in renewing your mind, he says, it requires this leaning in where you're fixing your eyes, you're attending your ears, and you're awakening your heart on the things of God. And I think we can get passive and we can become negligent. Again, no shame here, but I'm just saying we get busy with other things and then we wonder. It's kind of like you eat healthy for a while, then you stop eating healthy and you're like, right. How did I drift? Why did I drift? I feel crumbing. You know, I think when you immerse yourself in the love of God and all of the things he's already proven and the promises he's kept and the grace that he's bestowed, you automatically, your eyes start to open up and you go, wow, I'm loved. I'm called. I'm created. And like you said, faith is a byproduct because you're magnifying the Lord and not all your symptoms or insecurities, you know?
Absolutely. You are putting yourself in the environment for growth.
Come on.
Instead of trying to make growth happen yourself, you're actually planting yourself in the soil. And it's the soil and the nutrients of the Word of God that goes into the seed that is planted in you that does the growth, not the seed trying to grow the plant out of itself. And so that's what's happening when you're renewing your mind. And, you know, Susie, you and I keep going back to the grace and the love of God because that is really it. That is the message that says the pressure's off, the striving is off. You are good with God as you are because of Christ. And you just renew your mind to that truth and the growth just happens effortlessly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got a great question that I'd like to tackle after the break. Brenda says, what do you say to people about our weapons against the devil? We'll talk about weapons of our warfare in a moment. But I want to just pray as we go to break for this one who feels like they don't belong anywhere and others who resonate with that same lie. You're somehow outside the circle. You're outside the scope of people who have power of seeing you. And all of those things are just setups of the enemy to get you more obsessed with a sense of being an outcast because he's so threatened by the idea of you understanding that you're right in the center of God's heart. And so, Father, we just lift up every person listening today who feels like they're on the outside of the circle, who feels like they're a have-not. And, Lord God, I pray that we just break the power of inferiority, insecurity, of rejection in the name of Jesus. We disagree with those things. We break up with any agreement around those things. And I pray even now you would ignite the healing process, that right now seeds would be planted in the soil of their hearts, seeds that say God is good. His promises are true. He's loved you forever. He made you fearfully and wonderfully so. He wants to use you in ways that are disproportionate to who you are. He wants to heal your hurts. He wants to heal your soul and make you whole. And he's proven himself time and time again. In the very fact that we have an empty tomb and a resurrected Christ and the Spirit of the living God alive in us shows us that overwhelming victory belongs to us. So, Father, forgive us for all the ways where we stand and agree with lies just because they're easier to believe. Lord, we want to contend, Lord God. We want to believe you and trust. And our part is renewing our minds, fixing our gaze, setting our hearts on you. And yours is the supernatural work of transformation in us. So have your way. God, shine your light. Show us the lies we believe and the truths we need. And help us, every one of us, I pray, in this coming year, be absolutely transformed by the resurrection power of Christ in us. Lord, we want to live loved in the best way possible. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be back in a minute.
I heard a small voice say your debt's been paid by somebody else. And now I'm walking free. No.
Good news. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Kyle Winkler about his new book, Shut Up, Devil, Silencing the 10 Lies Behind Every Battle You Face. And such good conversation. I feel like we're just scratching the surface of all the great content in this book. And he writes this: the devil's always shouting your faults, failures, and inadequacies. While his accusations may actually be whispers or nagging thoughts that only you can hear, they can reverberate like roars in your mind until you cower to them. What you need to know is that the devil's roars, while they can shake you to your core, have absolutely no merit. That's because as a Christian, you are in Christ. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. I know I say that number fast. Should I say it slower? Okay, I will. 877-933-2484. Okay, this is a really great question that came in from, I think, Brenda. What do you say to people about our weapons against the devil? Now, the context, if you just tuned in, is what we've been saying is we're not saying pick a fight with the devil. We're not even saying talk to the devil or engage in a conversation. We're saying renew our minds with the truth of God's word. And as we immerse ourselves in the love of God, we really, faith starts to rise up. Now, Ephesians 6 does talk about the weapons of our warfare. So let's take the conversation in that direction. What do you say, Kyle?
Yes, I love this because Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. And in the book, I talk quite a bit about the armor of God. And God really has taken me through in-depth study of this. And one thing, if you go through the armor there, Paul consistently says, stand therefore. And God showed me that spiritual warfare and all of the weapons that were given are not about having a fight with a devil who is defeated. That would be goofy, but it's about standing in the victory of the one who defeated him. And so every weapon that Paul then lists there, the six pieces of the armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, every one of those isn't something you have to plead, God, please give me, that you have to work for, you have to achieve. but they're actually what you already have as someone who is clothed in Christ. And my favorite one, which I talk quite a bit in the first couple chapters of the book, is that breastplate of righteousness. A lot of people think that it's doing something, that it might be about behaving right, but righteousness is your identifier as one who is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin took on our sin so we would become his righteousness." So I say our greatest protection of the against the enemy is knowing that because of Jesus, we have been made new and made right, made whole, made holy. That is what righteousness is. And just to take the illustration a little bit further with that breastplate, if you could see the Roman soldier's breastplate, and I've had life-size replicas that I've taught with before, it was this huge piece, 40 pounds or more, that was scaled with plates of bronze or iron that reflected the sun as they marched about. It was the most beautiful piece of the armor, most beautiful piece. And here's the other thing, is that was the one piece of the armor that couldn't be taken off of them. It actually was fastened to them from the back. No enemy could take them off. No battle could take it off. If they stumbled and they fell, it wasn't going to fall off. And that's how it is with our righteousness in Christ, is that no body, no battle, nothing can take it away, because it's not just a quality about who you are, but it actually becomes who you are. He who knew no sin became our sin so we would become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so all of those weapons there that we call the weapons of our warfare are really who we are and what we have as ones in Christ. They're not about us. They're not really about anything we do. They're about what we stand in positionally in Christ.
You know, one of my favorites, that's so good, I'd never heard that before, but is the shield, because it's to block every fiery dart of the enemy. And there's times when you know, when you're stepping into kind of ministry, like for us stepping into our spring event here at Faith Radio, it's predictable. Technology gets hit, health gets hit, you know, we just, and so we know, and we shore ourselves up and we put our shields together. But I remember reading a study on the shield of faith, and it says, with which you block, it's Ephesians 6:16, if I remember, with which you block every fiery dart. And the way that that translates is where we get that word dynamite, which, you know, dunamis.
Yeah.
And so in other words, it was saying that when you say no, when the arrows, and they're flaming arrows, and as you said in the book, and I've said too, the enemy's had a long time to study you. He knows where your weak points are, where you're very sensitive, and he's going for the jugular, or he's going for that nerve ending. When you say no, and you put that shield up, not today, no, and that's the only dialogue you have, there literally is an explosion in the spiritual realm, because when that fiery dart comes in contact with that shield of faith, there's an explosion. And I think that's so powerful. I mean, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. I don't know that we even understand fully the power that God has entrusted to us and how he works it through us.
But therein is our spiritual warfare power. It's funny that you say all of the just the crazy things that happen whenever you launch something for the ministry. This book came out last Tuesday, and we had an attack on the website. We had a bunch of fraudulent stuff try to happen. And then this weekend, I was at a wedding, and I'm coming back from the wedding at 10:30 at night, and my tire blows on the interstate. And so it's just like, okay, you know, I would have had an opportunity at that point to really lose my cool over it, and I was just able to remain in peace, just because it just couldn't shake my position in Christ. I just wasn't going to let it affect me, because it was kind of par for the course. We do shore ourselves up knowing, okay, some goofy stuff is probably going to happen. But still, had I let that situation get into my mind and, oh, how could this happen, and this is just a waste of time, and now it's going to cost all this money. No, instead, I know God is my provider. He is going to work everything else out. He's in control of my steps. He's in control of my time. There's nothing really I have to worry about. That right there just keeps you in the right position to where the devil doesn't have any more access into your life. It holds up that shield of faith and says, nope, I know God's going to do something. I know God's going to work this out. I'm not going to worry about it.
Boy, that is so good. So good. And that's one of the things you talk about in the book, too, is that there are ways to minimize the enemy's impact, or at least what he gets away with, because he is roaring like a lion. He is prowling around looking for an opening, which means he finds it in some and not so much in others. So what are some of the best ways to shore up our lives in that regard? So we're not bracing for impact. We're not becoming paranoid, as you said, but we're not being clueless either.
Right. Well, obviously, when I talk about shutting down the enemy, as I mentioned at the beginning, it's not actually shutting up his mouth, but it's actually shutting his influence out of your life. And, of course, we do that defensively by confronting those insecure and those condemning thoughts with the truth, truth based upon the love and the grace of God, the goodness of God. That's in a defensive method. Whenever something comes up that says, this isn't going to work out, this is only going to fail, you've got to respond with truth. I think a lot of us know that. But even better is completely shutting his influence out from touching you in the first place. This is what I call in the book the offensive method. And again, it's as we were talking about, it's a method of mind renewal. But the Lord really taught me a process that I use for myself to really overcome a lot of the insecurity and the mind games that kept me down for so long. And I call it the four R's of mind renewal. And it's just keeping yourself built up with the truths of God by reading what he says about you. That's the first R. Reflecting upon what he says. And this is key. It's actually personalizing and identifying what he says about you and your situation. I use a few prompts that I teach throughout the book. What does this truth say about me? What does it mean about me? What does it mean about my situation? And what does it mean about God? What does it mean about God's character? I think through those things. It's a process of meditation. Then the third R is I rephrase it. I rephrase it to an I am statement. I am loved unconditionally. I am God's masterpiece. I am made right in Christ. Those types of things. So it actually isn't just speaking about you, but it's speaking to you, and it gets really into you in a way that you can identify with. And then it's the last R is repeat. It's, as we were talking about before this last break, is really contending with it and staying with it so that you're just not always responding to the insecurity and the mind games as an attack, but you're actually able to stay built up and be on the attack. So as I said, those things don't get into you in the first place to spiral you down to those old pathways that you used to go.
So good. You know, Scripture talks about drawing near to God and he'll draw near to you. And Kevin and I have been talking a lot lately. You know, we're just walking through some things that are compelling us to press in like never before. And I was saying this morning, I'm like, isn't it interesting? You know, when you're in transition, when you're pressing in, you see God, you hear from him in ways you normally don't. But it's a daily the heavens pour forth speech. And I think that's why people in transition, even though it feels at times like you're a little vulnerable, when you're pressing into God, it's when you hear from him. And I feel like it feels like a time, Kyle, right now, whether you're in transition or not, our country is, our world is. And as we press in and really attune our ears, our eyes, our hearts to God to say, I need fresh reminders of who you are, of what you're doing, of who I am, it will radically change how we even perceive the news, won't it?
If there's ever a time to shut up the enemy and all of his influences, it's now, because he is speaking in all kinds of ways through just all of the ridiculousness that's out there that is taking our minds in a lot of directions and a lot of paranoia and a lot of fear. And one of the things that I like to renew my mind to, which is a truth that God asks his people all throughout the Bible, anytime they were afraid of something, anytime they were paranoid with something, anytime, you know, when there were giants in the land, anytime the future even had real things that maybe you would normally be afraid of, there's one thing that changed everything that the devil wants you to forget, but it's the reality of God's presence. That God is not only before you, as it says, not only behind you, but with you, beside you, and if you're in Christ, he's inside you as well. That means...
So good.
What you face, you don't face on your own. It faces God, and that's a losing battle for it, not you.
So good, Kyle. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, friend, for joining us. I pray you found encouragement. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.